All right, Wednesday or Tuesday evening, 7/12/22. This is called the saving of the soul. Our first scripture is going to be in Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to begin with verse 32 here. I'm going to write something right quick so I don't forget. Right. Okay, verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I'd like to make a statement to you. When you're going through a hard time, the appropriate response would be to say, Lord, I'm not doing my will, I'm doing your will. So I know you have a plan. So whatever I have to endure, or whatever I have to go through, whatever I'm experiencing for your sake, because I'm doing your will, I know it'll be well. All will be well. You know, because we're not doing what everybody else we know is doing. Just living their lives and just doing whatever they think's best. I'm sure there's some that are sold out totally to God and they're doing His will. I just don't happen to know any of them. I know a few, but you know what I'm saying. Most people just live and die, go to church, do the routine and everything. And a lot of them never know what God wants them to do. But because you're suffering under whatever, and I don't know. I know a little bit about Danny. But I don't know exactly, because God is unique to you. It's between you and God. So if we trust Him, then we can say, Lord, I don't understand this, but I'll be danged if I'm going to feel sorry for myself. I'm going to submit myself to the Father's spirits and live. If this is where the path that He's put us on, and we're suffering afflictions like I just read to you, then we can say, well, I know God has a plan and it will be good. He'll deliver. Whatever you've suffered, He'll pay you back. Whatever you missed out on, double for your trouble at least. So I think if we can think that way, it'll help us along to where we don't get down. We don't start thinking on our circumstances. But we're thinking, I trust you, Lord. I trust you. That you're overseeing this whole thing, and you're going to finish. You're the author and the finisher of my faith. A lot of people suffer because they're not doing right. But when you're suffering for righteousness, that is a totally different thing. So I just want to encourage you with that. Because it's kind of like David. It said, you know, they'd been, I guess, on a raiding party in a battle, and they come back, and somebody had come in and taken all their wives and children and all their stuff. Some of the guys were all, I think there were 600 of them. Some of the guys just, they were so weary they couldn't even do anything. So 200 stayed with the stuff, 400 went on, and they went. They wanted to stone David. But it said David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's important, that we encourage ourselves when we feel that pressure, or we don't feel good in our body, or whatever that circumstance might be. We say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are looking at you. Because all the striving that you've done and all the stuff you've done to try to get it off or to change it, has it worked? No. Then that's the time to look to the one that really knows what's going on and can do something about it. But you know what? He's looking at that attitude, an attitude of gratitude. What happens to those with the attitude of gratitude? They go in the lion's den and don't get eaten. They go in the fiery furnace and don't get burned, not even the smell of smoke on them. They go into the jail and an angel delivers them. Because getting down about it, what's that going to do? You're just going to get down about it. It profits nothing, nothing at all. But gratitude and thanksgiving and praise, you can't lose. All right. The Strong's here. Saving means preservation. The saving of the soul. We're going to look at the soul and the spirit today. Soul here is suki? Suki. It means breath, immortal soul, life, and mind. Brother Hagin always said it's your mind, your will, and emotions. Well, we see heart, the heart, that's the soul. That's the mind, the will, the emotions, the intellect even. All right? Animals have a soul, but not a spirit. Our soul is naturally life as we know it. It's just who you are as a human. Many confuse soul and spirit. We hear that a lot, especially truthers. They're always using the soul. Very seldom do I ever hear them say anything about the spirit. I'm thinking, y'all are missing an ingredient, a major ingredient here in what you're saying. Your soul gets you dead gum in trouble, I'm telling you. But, you know, they use it like most of the old Pentecostals or whatever used it, and didn't have any concept of us being a three-part being. You just had a soul and a body. But no, it's three parts, spirit, soul, and body. All right, spirit here. Well, let's look at this first. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4 shows there is a soul and a spirit, because it says the Word of God can penetrate and show you. All right, this is verse 12 here. Wait a minute, 4:12, is that right? Okay. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the heart here, I'm sure, probably is the same as the others, where it's talking about the mind, the will, and the emotion, because that's where the thoughts. If you're going to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart, this is your thinking processes. What you think. So, the Word of God will help us discern between soul and spirit. This is part of the saving of the soul. Because, see, our soul has to be saved. We get born again in our spirit. That's salvation. But our minds, our will, our emotions, nothing changes there. Unless we do what the Scripture says and renew our minds. And then we start seeing, things about our character, things that we're doing that, no, that's not right. We see God's way about things, because this is a spiritual book. But your mind's unfruitful. You got to apply it. All right. Spirit there is pneuma. In the vines, I want to read what the vines, I just wrote a little bit of what the vines, it had a bunch. The soul, or the psuche, is the natural life of the body, the immaterial, invisible part of man, the seat of personality, the seat of settlement, the element in man that by which he perceives, reflects, feels, and desires. That's your emotions. The seat of will and purpose, the seat of appetite and desire. Spirit here, pneuma, is wind. The wind, breath, invisible, immaterial, and powerful. The resurrection body. So these are two different things. They're not the same thing. All right, with that, I want to look at 1 Thessalonians 2, 23. There's not a 1 Thessalonians 2, 23, is there? No? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me write that, correct that. I have to go back and use this. It's 5, not 2. Okay. All right. Let's go look now at Matthew chapter 10. Till I came into this Brother Hagin's teachings, I didn't know any of this stuff. In fact, until we came to the Word of Faith and I began to look in the Word for myself and study for myself, I didn't know anything about anything. 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Yeah. Soul and body in hell. All right, from what my understanding is when you die, your body falls away, but it will be resurrected, so it's not lost. It's buried. It's asleep, so to speak. So your spirit and your soul remain intact. That's why, you know, people say, well, you'll be known as you're known. In other words, they're going to know who you are. People that have gone to heaven, people knew them. You know, you are who you are. Okay. All right, when you die, your soul does not die. This is Luke chapter 16. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So Abraham's bosom was, when people died, there was two compartments. One was hell and the other was paradise, or Abraham's bosom. So before Jesus came, that's where they went. Old Testament saints, if you will, and then those who were not good. They were in these two compartments until Jesus came. When he rose from the dead, it said he went and preached to these people in these compartments. That's why you saw people when he resurrected, when he come up out of there, they saw people that had died were walking around in the city. One of them shows about a young man. It says he had a robe on and he fled and left his robe there and he was naked. Well, he had been buried. And whenever Jesus come up out of the grave, it said some of those that had died before come up out of the grave also when he came up. Pretty cool, huh? I figure, well, was he just taking them with him to heaven. They just stopped off, say, hey. I don't know, but that's what it sounds like. Scary. You talk about scary, but anyway. So they recognized them. I didn't write that down. I should have. I thought that's pretty cool. Anyway. All right. All right. Where did I stop? 23. Okay. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tortured or tormented in this flame. Sounds like an elite, doesn't he? Just giving orders. Used to getting his way and doing whatever he wanted. Old Lazarus, just an old sorry beggar. He tell him to do this. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, for thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, even though one rose from the dead. They don't believe Lazarus. They didn't pay no attention to him while he was there. Why would they pay attention to him then? They think, oh, he's a kook. He's one of those conspiracy theorists. Yeah, we know what we know them kind of people.
I'm one.
So his soul was intact. All right, Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. Man is a spirit. He has a soul, and he lives in a physical body. Yeah. All right. With that, let's go to Genesis chapter 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So God made man in his image. God is a spirit. John 4 talks about that. We'll come up on that. Well, in fact, it's next. John 4, 24. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And she's talking about natural worship. Old Testament, natural worship. And Jesus is talking about the real worship. This is 4, 4. All right, no, that's not 4:4, just a minute. 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Huh. Because she's talking about you Jews know where you need to worship, and you know, and she said we have to worship somewhere else because they're not welcome among the Jews. The Samaritans weren't welcome among the Jews. And Jesus is trying to tell her a new time is coming where you weren't going to worship these natural places, but you're going to worship God because he's a spirit. He wants to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. So now as a born-again spirit person, we can worship God in spirit and in truth. I think that when we pray in the spirit, we worship God. All right? We follow the spirit, we worship God. All right, let's keep going here. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Let's just start with 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. In other words, this body, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So spirits do not die. They do not die. Okay, that's what happened to Adam the day that he and Eve did what they did. They died spiritually. And that's why Jesus had to come back and redeem mankind. All right, let's keep going. We see that the body of man ages, but the spirit does not. The spirit man is hidden. You don't see a person's spirit, but that is the real person. What you're looking at here in me is just my suitcase, if you will. I like to liken it to the NASA astronauts and those big old cumbersome old bulky old suits they wear to do their TV set scenes on the moon and whatever else. But that's not the real person you're seeing. My spirit is looking at you through these eyes, the real me. One of these days we're going to know the real deal. All right, keep going here. 1 Peter 3:4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God of great price. The hidden man of the heart. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:17. A lot of scripture tonight. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is what happens at the new birth. When your spirit man is now alive. You know, I don't know what you, I know Brother Hagin taught that the people that aren't born again, their spirits are dead. And I don't know. I haven't really looked into it, but it doesn't do them any good. They're just basically being led by soul power, wouldn't you think? The conscience, just their thinking, their intellect, their reasoning.
Yeah.
When the spirit is born again, he becomes a new creature. We need to say this. Say this with me. I am a spirit being.
I am a spirit being.
I have a soul. And I live in a body. All right. Soul and spirit are discerned as two things in the New Testament. We read that. Hebrews 4:12. When you pray in the spirit, your soul is not praying. This isn't just soulish prayers. Or just, thank you, Jesus. I pray for the kids. I pray for this. Pray for that. This is spirit prayer. It is your spirit. Your born-again spirit is praying. When you pray in the Spirit. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Here's that soul that needs to be saved. Your mind, it's unfruitful. Things of the Spirit to your natural mind do not make any sense. That's why the renewing process with the Word of God, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amplified says new ideas. In other words, new ways of looking at things, seeing things spiritually instead of just always in the natural. Because the natural gets you into trouble. Jesus said this. This is John 7:7. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So we know they had to wait, tarry in Jerusalem until Pentecost, which is 50 days after his resurrection, the gift was given. All right, in the upper room. All right, let's keep going here. James chapter 1. Verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of God worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The word of God is what saves this soul that gives us so many problems. It's because of the soul, not the spirit, that we are to do this right at the first. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We've read it so many times. We'll read it again for the sake of those who will listen to this later. 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, you say, okay, what do they do with the sacrifice? That's what they killed on the altar, right? So you're basically saying, I'm killing my flesh. I'm laying down on this altar and I'm submitting to its sacrifice. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, right? You're seated with Him in heavenly places, and that spirit thinking, yeah. Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. If I could get anything across to anybody that I know, if I could get that across to them, that really, after you become born again, filled with the Spirit, this is the next thing you should do. Because when you do this, you will know what God's will is for you. And you can pursue it instead of running around, trying this, trying that. Well, I think I'll do that. A lot of times they spend their whole life chasing their tail and never accomplishing much of anything. They might accomplish a few natural things, but what have you accomplished for God? Because, you know, you were born with a plan and a purpose. You weren't just a happenstance. You were born with a destiny. God's destiny. But if you can't get people to spend even a few minutes a day praying in the Spirit to get their mind renewed, what can you do for them? Going around to every meeting trying to find out what God's will is for them. That's not what He said do. Let me read this again. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, nobody can tell you what God has done for you or God has a plan for you. I mean, there's been people give prophecies and things. I'm not saying anything about that. But really, you're the one that has to know it. If you don't know it, how can anybody else know it? And if you don't know it, it ain't going to get done. I know probably some call people to do things that maybe they're not supposed to be doing. Everybody ever ask you to do something that you just went, inside? Yeah. Yeah. All right. This is how we're going to save our souls. It is the soul that gives us the problems. It is the soul that Satan targets. All right, let's go to Psalms 23. That's why David would say, Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me, bless his holy name. Probably because the furthest thing from his mind is wanting to say that. Probably wanted to gripe and complain like everybody else. No, he had to force himself. So shut up, bless the Lord. Get out of that depressed state you're in. Bless the Lord. All right, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff that comfort me. Wasn't this how we kind of started? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of enemies, even if it's lions or flames or shackles. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can't never go wrong following the Spirit. Never. Why do you think the devil tries to get you out of there? See, if you walk in the flesh, it says, so to the flesh you shall die. But if you walk in the Spirit, life. We know this. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of just what we have here. As David walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, he restoreth my soul. A person believes that the body will follow whatever is the dominant force. If it's the spirit, it will reflect in the body. If it's the soul, it will reflect in the body. Either way, you hang. Yeah. You have to present your body, as we just read, to go with the spirit instead of the flesh. It's a choice. You're either going to walk in the spirit or you're going to walk in the flesh. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Let me just go up, not just 27. Twenty-four. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. When we have a down day, and we're down in the mouth all day, we're beating the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest at any means which I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. All the stuff he went through, he wouldn't allow his body to reign over him. His soul, how he felt. How he felt about it. He's not going to let it take dominance over him. You see why he walked where he walked. Because he learned this. When we are led by the soul, we get into trouble. We make our decisions based not on our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, but on the inward witness. Learning how to follow the inward witness. All right, Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Sons of God are not led by their souls. They're not. This is where I get aggravated when I hear people say this. It just steams my beans, I'm telling you. Well, we're just all God's children. No, we're not. All right, John 8. John 8, 44. Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees of his day, the religious leaders, if you will. He said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. "Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." That may not be politically correct today in the religious circles, but I'm telling you what, it's the absolute truth. Ain't no way. Oh, we're just all God's children. No, we ain't. Now, did he create everyone? Yes, he did. But then they have a choice to which master they choose, right? Yeah. The sons of God follow the inward witness. This is Romans 9, 1 here. "I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost." The Spirit of God dwells in our spirit, and he instructs us from there. He will not instruct you from your soul or from your body. See, that's not going to do it. Most people just live out of their soul. Well, the Lord, you know, I was praying the Lord would heal me, and I come across this person. They just had this surgery, and you know what? I believe that was God. They went and had that surgery. I'm going, okay. Maybe that's all that they can do. Maybe they can't go any further than that. You know what I'm saying? They haven't renewed their mind. They don't know about walking in the Spirit. They just know about walking in the flesh. That's the only way they know. All right, 2 Corinthians 6:16. And if you're trying to do better, God's not going to condemn you over that. You know what I'm saying? You don't get where you're going overnight. But I think it could be a lot quicker if we would work with God instead of against him all the time. All right, 2 Corinthians 6:16. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So there's a condition to being a son and daughter of God, isn't there? Yeah. You become the temple of the living God. Not just, well, we're just all his children. All right, Gideon used a fleece. He was under another covenant. If you use a fleece, you will be fleeced. Have you ever seen a lamb that's been fleeced? It's the pitifulest looking thing. You know, they have all this big fuzzy wool on them. Makes them real pretty. They shear them babies off to where they're slick. And they are the scrawniest looking awful. It's kind of like when you take your dog to the groomers and they shave them and they look horrible. Even the dog's ashamed. He's trying to hide because he's, you know, it's like a woman's hair is her glory. I think a dog's fur is his glory. I've seen that. They just act like they're just so embarrassed. They're just shaved to where they just feel naked. Because that's their covering. God gave them that for a covering. We shave it off. Yep. All right. One phrase that should never come out of the Son of God's, out of a Son of God is, "I feel." Joyce Meyer says, I think I want to feel, I think I want to feel, I think I want to feel. I'm thinking, yeah, she coined it. Or I need, I need, I need, I need, I need. So we see here that it is our soul that needs saving. Our spirits are perfect. And when we follow God's Spirit in us, we will never fail. We won't fail. No way. When we get disciplined to doing this, then we will know automatically when we are not supposed to do something. See, it will discern between soul and spirit. The Word of God helps us discern what's of the soul, what's of the spirit. I'm thankful I'm a very decisive person. I'm pretty black and white, so it's pretty easy for me. Some people, they live in this wishy-washy gray area, and it's harder for them to just, it's the way it is. There ain't no turning. I have some people on that jury I served on. They were exasperated with me and this other lady because everybody else started out being, you know, on our side before it was over and done because they got ready to go home. Didn't want to have to be there anymore. But I wasn't about to back off because I knew what that man was doing. Trying to cheat, get money off the government or this company or whatever. Sometimes I'm very unyielding as far as that is concerned. Once I've made up my mind, there's just not much that's going to get me out of that. Now, that can be a downfall too, but I'm saying that, you know. We can know God's will, and we know that we know it, and we know it, and we can do it, and we don't feel bad. We don't look back. We don't have any guilt. Don't regret. Isn't that the point? All right. 1 John 3:20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is our helper. This is John 14:16. I probably read that a while ago. 14:16. Oh, yeah. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now we know Romans 8, where we talk about the Spirit help with our infirmities. When we don't know how to pray, He will pray through us the perfect will of God in situations. I mean, He set it up for us. Right there. Yeah, I had it typed out. It keeps our soul in check. I believe this is the saving of the soul. It will become subject to the Spirit and not be a rogue. Always going back to the vomit. I used to do it that way, but that's not the best way. That's vomit. Peter talked about that. In the same way, we do not let our body dictate our decisions either. How you feel should never be the deciding factor in any decision you make. The Holy Spirit is there to help us and to save us from ourselves. Plain and simple. All right, a few more scriptures here. John, I just read to you this is John 16. John 16:13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Why would you follow anything else? For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He shall show you things to come. See, He warns us about things. Keeps us out of trouble. And it's not selfish. It's directly from God. Yep. All right, John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5, this is 21. We looked at 23, but I want to look at 21. It says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. So whenever things come to you, before you step out, you need to prove it. There is something that I do. I have a habit of doing this, that when the Lord speaks to me something, I don't move out on one when he speaks to me until I've heard it a second time. Or I have a confirmation, as an example. I was praying about someone, and the Lord gave me the answer. And then Danny, without him knowing I had prayed or gotten anything, he says, the Lord said this to me. And I said, yeah, me too. So there's that confirmation. In other words, it's a proving. That's the Spirit. We can move out on that. Yeah. All right. A few more scriptures and we'll be done here. 1 Corinthians 14:10. So that's a witness. A lot of people, they'll wait. And they finally just do something. Well, I've had instances where I've had to wait some years on some things. And I still didn't do anything. I'm so glad I didn't. Because, you know, he may answer in a day, but it may be some space of months. So what are you going to do? Well, if he's not saying anything, you just don't do anything. That's the best thing you can do. Because if you don't do anything, then you don't have anything to say, well, I wish I hadn't done that. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. 1 Corinthians 14:10 here. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Because I have been spoken to before, and that was not. So I didn't do anything about it because I didn't feel the witness, even though it was a voice. God's word renews our mind so we can walk in the Spirit. 2 Peter 1:4. Isn't this just practical? You know, if people would just get born again and say, don't do anything until you get under some teaching to teach you how to walk in the Spirit, get filled with the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, find out God's will, and just some simple, simple teaching. I mean, we had to wait so many years to come to this knowledge. 2 Peter 1:4. I mean, it's like going to school. Do you expect a child of 5 to go to college? No, they got to go through 12 grades of school before they can do anything. Well, it should be more so even in the Spirit. There ought to be schooling. That's what discipleship is. 2 Peter 1:4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I want to partake of the divine nature. I've had enough of that other stuff, haven't you? All right, I'm going to give you some instances in Acts, this is Peter, of him getting a witness. Okay, before he acted. All right, this is Acts chapter 10. And he had a trance. I believe when God leads you, there's signs that He will give, or witnesses that He will give. This is Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Well, he has the vision on the housetop, and here comes, he doesn't know what it means, so here comes Cornelius' people, and so that was a witness to Peter. The Lord said, go with them. He told them to go with them. Well, let me just see if I can find that, and I'll read it to you. Okay. Well, let me read what I've got down here. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him. And as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air, there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Well, he's a Jew. They don't eat any of these stuff. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Would that be a witness? And called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause whereof you're come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an angel and to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. So he's getting witnesses from what God showed him. I believe God will do that. Anytime the Lord gives me stuff to bring, I say, Lord, I want scriptures on this. And usually he gives me several. I don't want to just take one scripture and base everything on one scripture. No, I want some confirmation. And you should ask the same thing. All right. Acts 11. This is 11:11. And behold, immediately there were three men. He's given the account. And behold, immediately there were three men already coming to the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. See, here's these others of the church. They're doubting. Because they're under the old covenant. They're eating things that are clean, not unclean. So Peter's having to qualify here what the Spirit bade him do. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved? And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then God hath also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You know, this could have been a mess. All right. We just need to follow the Holy Spirit. Quit letting our souls take control of what we do. It'll keep us out of a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. I want to look at Hebrews 11. Because we started off with Hebrews chapter 10 about the saving of the soul. People that walk by faith have learned this. When you walk by faith, you're not leaning to your soul. You're believing God, contrary to circumstances. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Think about that. A good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And it goes on to tell about all these different ones in the Faith Hall of Fame that triumphed, met their full potential in God. But they followed the Spirit. They walked by faith. They overcame. I like this last part over here. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson, Jephthah, David, also and Samuel of the prophets, who through faith of two subdued kingdoms wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. All of these different conditions, all of these things that these people of faith had circumstances that were contrary to what they were believing God for. Sarah was barren. But she received strength to conceive seed when she was 90 years old. They can't even do that today. All right. We're going to close it out. Just keep your mind renewed. When the Lord speaks to you to do something, make sure you get a witness. Don't just do something. Because that'll keep you out of the soulish realm. Because our walk is in the Spirit. That's where the victory is. Okay.